Good morning. I want to welcome you all. My name is Phil Haberstroh, and I have the honor of serving as the board chair of the Citizen Science Community Resource Program. Today is a celebration and another milestone in the process of making the Tonawandas and Grand Island healthier communities. And I can't think of anybody outside of the wonderful team that is here today that has been more instrumental in the last decade from a citizen's perspective than the next person I'm going to introduce. Please welcome Jackie James Creedon. Jackie.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jackie James Creedon, for those of you that don't know me, but I'm a 14-year environmental advocate for this community, making this community, along with the representatives and the support that you see behind me, making this community a better place for all of us, cleaner and healthier, safer place for all of our residents. We are here today to announce the start of the soil study the Tonawanda Coke was ordered to fund in federal court. Previous to this position, I was just a local resident who wanted to know why so many people in my community were sick, including me. We have accomplished much in our community, including a reduction of benzene of 92%.
Bravo.
However, today marks the start of a new chapter in our history. We begin to investigate the potential links between industrial sources, such as the pollution coming from this company you see behind me, and how that potentially has impacted our environment and our residents' health. This information will give us more evidence to continue our fight for our right to live, work, and play in a clean and safe environment. Science, including citizen science, which you'll see a demonstration today of what that is all about, is truth, knowledge, and power. And whatever we find, we find. We'll deal with it as a community. Thank you.
We have a stellar list of partners and compatriots in this process with us, and none more recognizable than the gentleman I'm going to introduce. I've known him since his days as a councilman, our Congressman Brian Higgins.
Phil, thank you very much. Good to see you, Phil.
Thank you very, very much. Jackie had mentioned history, and it's worth noting that the major changes that occurred in America, be they in the area of labor rights or civil rights or the environmental movement, didn't come from Washington down, they came from the community up. And that's particularly true with the environmental movement. Interestingly enough, the most progressive environmental laws in the history of America were signed into law by a Republican, pro-business president by the name of Richard Nixon. And the real story is what was behind that. In 1970, April of 1970, the first Earth Day, 20 million people got off their couches, got out from in front of the television, and went into their parks, went to their waterfronts, went to college campuses, went to neighborhoods, and they demanded something change. Because our rivers, our waters, our land, and our air was polluted to a point where people just got fed up. The first environmental protection administrator was William Ruckelshaus. And he was asked by authors later on, they said, was Nixon really a closet greenie? Was he a closet environmentalist? And Ruckelshaus said no. He said people demanded it, and we had to change it. In the following year, seven major pieces of legislation were signed into law by Nixon, including the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. So there's two pieces to this. One is Jackie is the most recent example of a true citizen activist, one who was affected by the negative influence of what happened to the environment. And the Clean Air Act was successfully used to prosecute Tonawanda Coke. So it was a criminal investigation by the United States Department of Environmental Protection and the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation revealed that Tonawanda Coke employees deliberately ignored environmental procedures, leading to the release of toxic pollutions at Tonawanda Coke. In 2013, the United States Department of Justice successfully prosecuted a case which found Tonawanda Coke Corporation and employees guilty of violations of the Clean Air Act. This was only the second successful criminal prosecution involving the Clean Air Act. Tonawanda Coke's violations are linked to the release of benzene, a known cancer-causing agent, as well as improperly dumping toxic sludge into the ground. Today, the air at Tonawanda, around Tonawanda Coke is, and Grand Island, is cleaner thanks to the vocal community citizen action that made a compelling argument and stood up for itself as a community that fought against clear and deliberate wrongdoing on the part of a major corporation and persisted in the pursuit of justice. A leader in this community was Jackie James Creedon. Today, Jackie serves as executive director of the Citizen Science Community Resources and is coordinating the Tonawanda Coke Soil Study along with the University of Buffalo and chemistry professor Joe Gardella and the chemistry department at State University of New York at Fredonia. The goal of the soil study is to determine how Tonawanda Coke's violations may have affected the health of local residents and Tonawanda Coke employees themselves. The federal courts ordered Tonawanda Coke to provide $11.4 million to support a study that examines the community impact. $711,000 for this soil study is funded through that court order. This issue demonstrates the importance of citizen action, as well as the critical role the Environmental Protection Agency plays in protecting our clean air. So I thank all of you, all the leaders who are here, Joe Eminger, the supervisor of the town of Tonawanda, Nate McMurray, the supervisor of Grand Island and a waterfront proponent for the West River portion of Grand Island, a great vision for that. City of Tonawanda Mayor Rick Davis, and I mentioned Joe earlier. Joe and I have a long history. Joe was a leading figure in the cleanup of an old Republic Steel site, which is now home, will be home, to the largest manufacturer of solar panels in the Western Hemisphere. That's the Republic Steel site. And Phil Haberstrom has been around for a long time, is a terrific guy. I actually met him before my council days. I worked the parking lot when he was at the Buffalo, Buffalo Athletic Club on Delaware Avenue. So thank you, Phil, thank you.
Stay in shape. Yeah. Before we bring up the other speakers, too, I just want to acknowledge there are board members here, Sarah, Mike Milligan, Gene Harmon from the board. So thank you so much for them. And there is a group of citizens here that have been part of the picture. And I want to bring Professor Gardella up here. But Joe's got his students here, which out with we couldn't do it. And where's Katie Little? Jackie's right-hand hand. There's Katie. And so
it's my right hand over there.
Yeah. And we talk about partnerships with civic, public, and private, and Tracy Lokasiak is here somewhere representing the Kenton Chamber of Commerce. And I know that our new senator and in New York State, Chris Jacobs, Sean is here representing him. So thank them all for coming out. Very briefly, I can't tell you how lucky we are as a community to have Joe Gardella on our team. He is absolutely one of the best people in the country in his field. Joe, please come to the microphone and share your thoughts.
Thanks, Phil. First of all, I just want to say I'm kind of disappointed that I can't put up my 3D holographic projectors and give a PowerPoint presentation here, but that's what happens when you actually go to the real sites. As Phil mentioned, we have a great team of graduate students, PhDs, and undergraduate students who are staffing the soil sampling to help community members participate in this part of the citizen science, as Jackie mentioned. So those of you who are the worker bees, like Alex, why don't you raise your hand? Josh, take responsibility. Matthew, Elizabeth. They're going to give a demonstration just afterwards on taking a soil sample, that, and this represents our groundbreaking, and we're very excited. Now, personally, I want to say that for the past 22 years, many of them spent working with Representative Higgins' help. I've been... Okay. I got it.
We do have the fire hall as a backup, just in case.
I'll be brief.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I've been really lucky to have a huge part of my career being involved with working with the community on environmental problems and projects. This is 22 years, 14 or 15 that I've worked with Jackie. And it's really rooted me in this community and taught me a lot about the history of this community. And the history of the legacy of pollution. What we have in the study that was designed, that Representative Higgins mentioned, with the criminal penalties in the court case, is an opportunity to do a systematic and careful examination of soil and the legacy pollution in the soil over this entire geographic area that's outlined. We're going to use state-of-the-art geographic information technology to evaluate that data. In the first phase this year, we'll collect 310 samples total, and we'll look for hot spots over this entire area. Next year, we'll come back in phase two, identify those hot spots, and take detailed samples over these small areas. And the goal is twofold. The first goal is to really understand what pollutants have been built up in the soil as a result of the industrial pollution in this area. And then to be able to advocate to the federal government and other resources to clean up those areas that we know are highly contaminated and dangerous to public health. So those are our goals. This is an ambitious study. I know of no other study like this in the country. Where we have the luxury to start with an completely open mind in where we're looking and just go in and find the problems. So we're doing a comprehensive set of sampling that's completely agnostic as to, we don't have any preconceived notions of what we're looking for. We have support from the New York State DEC staff and EPA Region 2 staff. We just had a meeting with them yesterday to advise us, take a look, critique at what we're doing. But we're not limited. One of the advantages is we're not limited to following specific government procedures. We're going to follow them where they're appropriate. And with Mike Milligan at SUNY Fredonia, we're going to bring additional research techniques to bear to get additional information that hopefully will be groundbreaking in itself. So I want to thank everybody for being here. Yeah. Get off the stage, Gardella. And I especially appreciate the support of all the elected officials in this area. It's been, I've done this kind of work for 20 years, and I've never had a study that had all the elected officials' support, and Jackie has a lot to do with having brought that together. And that is really critical. If we need to do a cleanup, it's that advocacy is going to be really important. So thanks everybody for being here today, and hopefully we'll get everybody in before the rain starts falling.
Coming to the microphone now is resident Sue Mazur. Sue?
Hi. I used to live in this area at the Ritchie Road Trailer Park in the 80s, and there was a lot of things that happened there during the day. A lot of black stuff came across, and you used to have to do all kinds of things to just clean up the place. So what happened would be when you would blow your nose, when you would cough, you would have all this black stuff come out. Well, I ended up with an autoimmune disease that nobody seems to be able to figure out. It's been years of specialists, and I'm talking about Johns Hopkins, I'm talking about Cleveland Clinic, and we just don't know what's going on. So, and I was very heavily exposed in that area, because if you know where that Ritchie Road trailer park is, it's in an area where it's east of the Coke factory, pretty close to its backyard. So during and since my days in the Ritchie Road trailer park, my immune system has been turned up and functioning on overload. Could it be the air quality or soil contamination? As of yet, I can't be positive about what my medical condition can be attributed to. But however, I do believe that a soil sampling and an analysis is conducted in proximity of the Ritchie Road trailer park and the railroad tracks near Tonawanda Coke, and compared to human tissue like mine, it would most likely indicate heavy exposure to insidious toxic chemicals and explain why so many people have been sick who reside in that area. And also, I wanted to reach out to the Ritchie Road trailer park owner and ask him if we could, if UB could have permission to take soil samples on that property. I'm very happy that UB is doing this, and I do pray that things are going to change, you know, and the people are going to find out things. And this area, this whole community that has suffered for years and years with cancer and all kinds of things that nobody can explain, that's finally going to be explained by science. Thank you.
So sometimes we get a little surprised at one of these events, and I wasn't talking about the lightning and the rain, but thank you. But I want to bring our next speaker up, Jennifer. Jennifer is just moved to Buffalo, and she's going to introduce herself. And come on up, Jen, and share your story,
thank
please.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Jennifer Shirk. I'm the interim executive director for the Citizen Science Association, and also pleased to be here as a new resident of the city. Citizen science, or scientific research undertaken by members of the public, puts the tools of science into the hands of people who can use it to make a difference for the places they live in and care about. In some of the most powerful cases, such as here in Tonawanda, citizen science can be a tool for communities to create defensible knowledge and use it to combat injustice. And I am going to speak just briefly from my perspective as the director of the Citizen Science Association, which is a new nonprofit that looks across citizen science in its many forms and disciplines, from research into weather, to pollution, earthquakes, hurricanes and storms, astronomy, public health, ornithology, and much more. Our work at the Citizen Science Association aims to support and highlight integrity in both research and public science engagement in all of those contexts. It's from that field-wide perspective that I can call out the significance of this moment. By my best accounting, this is by far the largest amount of money at $711,000 awarded directly to a community-based organization for the purposes of ongoing research and monitoring of environmental quality. This award has unfortunately come at a substantial cost, particularly to the community members whose health has suffered and will continue to be impacted by the long-term effects of pollutants. At the same time, and perhaps more important than the amount of the monetary award, this moment represents a significant investment on the part of community members who have committed themselves to rigorously and tirelessly collecting, analyzing, sharing, and defending information to uphold the rights that all of us have to human and environmental health. I'd like to suggest that this is a moment that could catch the attention of industries across the country, that communities not only have a right to safeguard their health, but with citizen science, they have the tools to make a powerful and supported stand for that right. Across the country, and beyond, communities are leveraging this tool, and organizations like Citizen Science Community Resources and the Citizen Science Association are stepping up to highlight opportunities and successes in this realm of citizen science. Industries might take this opportunity to consider in advance ways that partnerships can be forged to identify shared values, such as for health and prosperity, and to look to citizen science as a tool we can all use to create the knowledge needed to ensure that communities thrive. Thank you.
Well, nothing warms my heart more than to be able to bring another O'Hara person up to the podium. Town of Tonawanda Supervisor Joe Eminger. Joe.
And I'm not taking the place of Assemblyman Chivinger. Okay. Thank you, Phil. And thank you, Congressman, and all my other colleagues here, Supervisor McMurray, Mayor Davis. This works because there is a collaboration between the electeds and, as the Congressman said, the people on the ground, with their feet on the ground. There's nothing that we can't accomplish if we put our minds to it, if we work together. Okay. In 1970, I was 11 years old, the first Earth Day. It seems like yesterday. It really does. And I worked on that Earth Day. We had an abandoned field right across the street from us. And all the kids in the neighborhood worked together hard to get that field cleaned up. It was owned by a private owner, but he didn't do anything for it for 20, 30 years and was really in bad shape. And that field today has now become the home of 6 residential homes in the town. And it began back on Earth Day, 1970. Okay, this is a wellness. I look at this as a wellness event. Okay, 13 months ago, we gathered at another wellness event in the town, the opening of our Rails to Trail, where many of the same individuals were at that opening. Okay, that was important for the fitness of our community. This, too, is about the wellness of the citizens in our community. Okay, and I want to say to you that I know I speak for everybody here, all the electeds, but the town of Tonawanda, town board, will do anything and everything that we can to make sure that this process goes forward. We are the industrial hub of Western New York, of Erie County, GM, Dunlop, Sumitomo Rubber, Tonawanda Coke. Okay, they've been great corporate citizens for 80 to 100 years, most of them. But we expect them to do what's right for the community. And we will make sure that we uphold them to that standard. So I want to thank Jackie and her staff and all that she has done to bring this to the forefront. I thank UB and SUNY Fredonia for their efforts. And we did sign off on soil samples being taken at town-owned properties. And we'll be anxiously awaiting for the results of those as well to see what they produce. So once again, welcome to the town of Tonawanda. It's going to be sunny here in a few minutes if you wait long enough. And I'll turn it back over to Phil. Thank you very much.
Another community that is definitely on the move is the city of Tonawanda, Mayor Rick Davis.
Thank you, and I have a statement. I wasn't alive during the first Earth Day, so I have. I can't recollect back that far. But 11 years ago, I met Jackie, and for the last 11 years, I'm proud to call her a friend, and I've been proud to partner with her in the city of Tonawanda when she ran the Clean Air Coalition, and now with Community Science or Citizen Science Community Resource. But I cannot thank her enough for the work that she's done. Dr. Gardella, SUNY Fredonia, thank you. And I think the lineup that's behind me here really shows that how much we as elected officials will stand with Citizen Science Community Resource and Dr. Gardella and SUNY Fredonia and whatever the test results show, we will stand behind them and we will figure out ways, if necessary, to assist them moving forward if results come back positive. So thank you again and good luck.
And I can't keep up with the press releases that are coming from Grand Island. Supervisor Nate McMurray.
first, politicians love their shout-outs, so let me give a couple shout-outs here, too. I am proud to serve with these two gentlemen. They're my neighbors, and they're good people. They really are. You sit down with Joe, you could spend the whole afternoon just talking to him when you get in his office. He's such a joy to be around to talk to. And Rick, he's right on all the issues. I grew up on the streets he represents. I used to ride my 10-speed around here and over near his, where his town hall, city hall is. And the changes are incredible. And I really love working with these two gentlemen. They're there. Every time there's a tough issue, they're there. And let me say this about Congressman Higgins for a second. He is the opposite of what you think a politician is. He is so sincere and so kind. It's been so impressive to me. He set a standard for me to follow, to be sincere and to really fight for what you believe in. And he's someone that I look up to as a relatively new politician. And also, I got to say to Senator Jacobs' office, there's been a number of times when Senator Jacobs has come across bipartisan lines, come to help and been here. And the fact that Sean is up here representing that office, I think, is a really big deal. Now, you know, I saw this movie. It was a terrible movie, the Dark Tower movie. I just wanted to go see it. It was horrible. It was a horrible movie. I don't recommend it. I have no offense. But we have our own Dark Tower over here in Tonawanda Coke. And if Jackie didn't do what she did and stand up, it would still be polluting. And credit should go to the people in this room that are helping her, that are with her, that are not also in the forefront. She needs you, and she knows that. We've had conversations. And she's been there with me on Grand Island creating her own team. Jen, you're part of that team now. We're helping change something. And because Jackie stood up, however long ago it was, how many years ago? Oh, 10 years ago. If she didn't, think about how scary it would have been for her to go over to Tonawanda Coke. I'm scared to walk by it now. She went up to it and said, no, we need to figure out what's going on back there. And because she stood up, things changed. Now, I'm dealing with an issue on Grand Island right now where people are looking at the soil and they're questioning, well, should we do this? Will it hurt my property values? Is it going to affect us? The answer is, if you don't look into this, if you don't participate in the study, you'll never know what's in your backyard. And until you know, you can't fix the problem. So it does take courage to take part in this and to fix this, but we need to have that courage. And I'm thankful for Jackie for making Glad Nine clear. You know, believe it or not, once upon a time, we used to go to Beaver Island, and we had benzene rates that were worse than anywhere else in New York State, at Beaver Island, at leafy Beaver Island. Some of the chemicals that hurt us most, you can't see, you can't smell. And she found those chemicals and she stopped it. So I want everyone in this room to work with your neighbors to keep building this. Grand Island, Western New York, is taking a new path now. When I grew up, when Joe grew up, when Rick grew up, this is a different era. We didn't care. We turned the other way. We looked away. We're starting to understand how beautiful this is and how wonderful this is and how important our waterfront is and how important our air is. But we can't change it unless we get together and work together across party lines, across community lines, and get this done. So thank you for all those who are participating in this. I really believe in it. And Jackie, by the way, we've had a lot of fun doing it so far. Whenever she comes to Grand Island, we have a good time.
Exciting. <Your office>.
So let's keep it moving. Let's keep it going forward. And thank you so much for your time and attention. And thank you to the news. It's too often the news doesn't pay attention to these really important events. And to have so many cameras out here today, it warms my heart. Thank you guys for doing that.
We have time and a group of people that are willing to entertain questions from the media. Joe, do you want to come up front too? And just so, and Mike Milligan and Jennifer, and any of you, just if you have questions, these are some of the leading scientists, and Jackie.
Technical questions we can answer.
What do you do when you find out exactly what is in that soil? What do you do that, and what do homeowners do? Can you stand in front of the microphone side?
Sure. So I've done these kinds of studies for 22 years in Western New York. And every one of them, there's sort of a different path. What we hope the path is, you know, is informed by my previous experience with working with EPA's emergency cleanup, working with DEC, and knowing a little bit about how the decision process goes. What we're hoping to give them in this sophisticated study is the kind of information that will allow them to consider and evaluate a cleanup I think what's sophisticated about this is, you know, we're trying to map out hotspots in a way so that we're not saying we're going to have to excavate soil over this entire area. We're going to find out where there's evidence of contamination, really in phase two, identify very carefully where it is. As I said, my view is that it's agnostic sampling. We don't have any particular targets. We're just doing comprehensive testing. I'm hoping that we'll be able to work with federal and state agencies if we identify areas that we recommend for cleanup, that we'll be able to get the resources. I just would say that Jackie has worked very hard at trying to navigate this process. In her early work in community involvement on soil studies, and she's learned, we've all learned, you know, that it takes a lot of things. I always say, I wish that there were just simply objective measures that would trigger cleanups. But what it takes, the data is really important. I'm a scientist, thank God the data is important. But it takes community leadership, our elected officials, and the community to advocate once we have that information for the cleanup. And so I think if we put these things together, and what Jackie has done is sort of line up the leadership in this community behind the study, then when we find contaminated hotspots and we're able to define them very carefully, I'm optimistic that government agencies will respond to that. And I've worked, for example, with EPA's emergency cleanup team for Region 2 that's headquartered in Edison, New Jersey, and they are really superb at dealing with this. They spend millions of dollars on cleanups in Western New York, the EPA does, and I just want to point that out to those people who think that the EPA really isn't important. Yes, I'm a professor, and that's a long-winded answer. Can I take another question?
Why the playground? It may seem obvious to some. You say you're looking at different hotspots. Why the playground?
Well, you know, first, there's a couple reasons. First, municipality, which, you know, is the owner of things like playgrounds, can give us permission in a straightforward way to include that in the sampling. Secondly, you know, we want to understand pollution at places where people are exposed to it. And certainly by taking residential samples, we can explain to people individually what's in their yard. There's sort of three types of sampling spots in this region. There's sites that are held by corporate interests, there are sites that are held by government, and there are sites that are held by individual homeowners. And so we're looking at all of those sites, and how we get permission is different in each case.
You think playground, you think children.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been several years since the Donald Coke conviction. How would you explain to folks out there who, you know, aren't in the Tonawandas that, you know, several years later, now you're looking at soil? Does that gap in time affect the accuracy of the testing?
It's really important to understand this point that you're making. The reason we're taking samples at 6 inches below is so that we can look at what's been built up over years of contamination. The other kinds of choices are to take surficial, very top surface. But most people in this area keep their residential areas good. They bring in fresh topsoil, they garden, they do stuff like that. So we really wanted to know what's the legacy that's been left from years of air pollution deposition. Mm-hmm. So that's, it, you know, in a sense, we know the emissions have changed, this is the closest we can do to recreate what you know, historically has been left behind.
And 6 inches, that's standard for
yeah.
this type of soil testing?
Yeah, there's several different standard depths that you do that have different, that give different information. So the top 2 inches are what's normally sampled if you're worried about direct exposure and people's health, you know, in their residence or on a playground. 6 inches is used if you're worried about gardening, you're planting things, and what are the roots going to see. So these are, you know, we're following standard operating procedures that are very common in the EPA and the DEC. And so we chose 6 inches because that was deep enough to give us a picture that of over time.
Now, in the lead up to the study, you asked for residents to collect soil samples for themselves.
No. What we're asking is, what we've designed the study to do is to have a heightened level of informed consent. So we ask residents to give us the owner of the site to give us permission to collect the sample, do the testing. We report that information to them. Only after they have that information, then we ask their permission to include it in the geographic analysis. We will not be identifying individual, data points when we make these maps. There'll be interpolations using geographic information analysis. So there's a certain amount of protection, of the individual's, individual data.
Now, what is 300 samples that you guys are?
310 in the first phase, yeah.
In the first phase, and then what about in the second phase?
Depends on how many hotspots we find. So the idea is we'll look very intensely within what we think is a hotspot and try to determine, is it a hotspot? What's the border? As best as we can figure that out.
It's a 10-year study, though.
No. This is the soil study is a 2-year study. The health study is a 10-year study. Yes. We'll be able to use this information on what elements and compounds we find to help inform the health study, but the two studies were designed separately and submitted to the court.
What's your gut tell you about what you will find? I mean,
what's my gut?
You've done plenty of these.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think that you're going to find some nasty stuff out there?
So how do I put this? When you sample soil, you always find things that if you just give the name, frighten people. The question is it at a level, is it at a concentration that's high enough upon exposure to cause problems? So we worked very hard to design reporting so we can explain to the community what is the sort of break point, what are things that sound like they're bad, but they're at normal levels, or they're way below anything that would trigger a cleanup or a health concern. And so we've taken a very conservative approach. We've examined Pennsylvania, all across New York State, over the history of how they've developed these standards. We've taken old standards, the current standards, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts. We've compared all of their standards and then taken the most conservative in order for us to identify this. It's difficult to explain the process to people. I know that. And we work really hard one-on-one with residents to explain their individual results. We're not trying to create difficult problems or overstate the emphasis, but you know, there are classes of compounds that we know from the production of coke. We're not just using that. We're looking, very broadly. Fundamentally, we want to give the community the information. When we find clean areas, boy, that's good news to everybody, right? And I guarantee you we will, just as you said, I have a gut feeling that we'll find some things. I have a gut feeling that we'll find lots of areas where they're perfectly clean, and that's a good result for people.
Can you give us an idea of how many people of the properties you wanted to sample have agreed so far, or have any not agreed?
I think so far we've had 150 permissions at this point. We're working hard. There are, I think, over 100 of the points that the areas will involve working with corporate or industry sites and with the help of elected officials, the municipalities have reached out to those companies to ask them to participate. And then there's areas that are controlled by the Thruway Authority and Erie County and things like that. So we'll work with the government to get permissions in those cases.
And then we outright said, you know, no, please don't touch my property, private property owners, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give me an idea of how many? I don't.
It's usually a pretty small number. I've been doing this for 22 years, and there's always people that are concerned about their property values. And they express that concern, and we respect that, and that's how we deal with it.
No, I just wanted we had an outreach on Grand Island, and I'll be honest, I told Jackie, I think maybe 10 people are going to show up, who knows? And Jackie, how many people do you think?
Huge.
It was packed.
It was 100.
It was standing
people.
Room only,
yes,
and the feedback was incredibly positive. I think a lot of people, when they got the information about actually what the study did, they felt good about it, and they felt like they were informed, and they can make an informed decision. And we're going to try to continue to have more of those outreaches to help people understand what they're going through. I know that we're not the main focus of the study. Only one part of Grand Island is the focus of the study. But still, I can say that the feedback has been incredibly positive.
I want to say also in response to this that Jackie and her team have done a lot of community education over the past several months. The responses have been very positive. We've had lots of people with high enthusiasm, especially when we explain to them the privacy and informed consent requirements. These are not the standards you have to use when you use a soil sample. You get permission to take the soil, and automatically you can use that data. We are following a higher standard that you would use in a human subjects testing, where you have to have multiple permissions at each stage, right? And so I've tried very hard to explain that to people in the community, that they have the chance to make the decision at least twice in this process, and to think about, you know, and we do, we educate them about, as we can, about their about what the results mean for them. And you have to keep in mind, too, when we take a residential sample, we're taking one point in their yard. That one point is not going to represent their whole yard, right? Because we're using it as a point in a large geographic study. If they live in a highly contaminated hotspot, then we come back and do a much more sophisticated and detailed soil sampling in phase two.
How many researchers are on your team?
I don't know. How many we got now? Probably, in terms of the UB student response, about a dozen. Engineering, geology students, chemistry students. What's your major? And your brother? Yeah, but one of you is a biomedical engineer. Yeah, okay. So response. I have to say the campus community views this as an extremely important study. If I could just say something about UB's commitment about this, UB waived all overhead on the $12.4 million. So all of that money is going directly to the study. There's no overhead whatsoever. That's a pretty significant commitment. The university still has to provide all of the things that overhead pays for: personnel management costs, benefits, all of that stuff. So leadership at UB is really strongly supportive that this is an important thing for the community.